This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, June 23rd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. In recent weeks, some academics have seen their LinkedIn profiles blocked in China or have had their posts taken down over quote-unquote prohibited content with no further explanation. On today's episode, our reporter Lisa Lin will join us to explain what's happening and how China's internet crackdown illustrates the trade-offs that Western companies face when operating in China. That's after these headlines. Last month, Amazon said it would buy the film studio MGM for $6.5 billion, excluding debt, as part of its bid to compete with rivals in the streaming space. As with any company completing a big merger, the deal was submitted for a government antitrust review. Now, we report exclusively that the Federal Trade Commission will be the agency to review the deal. People familiar with the matter say the FTC pushed for jurisdiction over the Justice Department because it already has an open investigation into Amazon's business. The review could present an early test for the new FTC chair, Lina Khan, who made her name in antitrust circles in large part by criticizing Amazon. The FTC declined to comment. An Amazon spokesman had no immediate comment. On the topic of competition, the European Union opened a formal antitrust investigation into Google. The probe, which has been going on informally since at least 2019, will look into whether the search giant abuses its dominant position in the online advertising market. Investigators will focus on whether Google favors its own ad buying tools in its ad auctions and whether it excludes competitors from brokering ad buys on its YouTube video service. Our tech reporter Sam Schechner says the case highlights that regulators' concerns about competition and privacy can sometimes be at odds.
So you have this tension because one of the main ways to make money on the internet is advertising, and one of the main accelerants of advertising is data about individuals. You end up with, on one hand, privacy kind of pushing towards fewer companies keeping a tighter hold on that data rather than spreading it all over the place, versus competition maybe arguing for a freer flow of data about individuals.
A spokeswoman for the company said European customers choose Google's ad tools because they're competitive and effective, and that the company is working with investigators to answer their questions. The price of Bitcoin continued its roughly three-month fall yesterday, dipping as low as about $29,000 for the first time since the start of 2021. Companies such as Tesla, Coinbase, and MicroStrategy, all of which have tied their fates to Bitcoin, have seen their shares take a hit as a result of the slump. And while we're talking about the markets, the NASDAQ Composite closed at an all-time high yesterday, as investors' concerns about inflation leading to higher interest rates appeared to ease. Shares of Microsoft rose to $265.79 during intraday trading, briefly putting its market cap at just over $2 trillion. For now, Apple is the only U.S. company to have closed above the $2 trillion mark. All right, coming up after the break, Microsoft's LinkedIn unit has been blocking some academics' profiles in China. We'll have more on that next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
China is well known for the control it exercises over the internet within its borders. And for Western companies that choose to operate there, they have to make tough decisions about how to comply with the government's rules. Now, we report that Microsoft's LinkedIn platform has been blocking the profiles of some academics and removing some posts on its China version over quote-unquote prohibited content. For more on this, I'm joined by our reporter, Lisa Lin. She's been following this. Hey, Lisa, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Amanda.
So what's going on here, Lisa? What have we been seeing?
Yeah, we've been seeing in the last couple of weeks an increasing number of people claiming that their LinkedIn profiles have been blocked in China. And these users typically have been posting on social media or have been sharing in like personal chat groups about how LinkedIn's been sending them messages about offensive content, so-called offensive and prohibited content, in their experience section or in their publication sections. And I'll give you an example. I spoke to an Oxford academic the other day, and he said earlier this month he got a note from LinkedIn, and LinkedIn told him that his profile was currently blocked in China, and it had something to do with the content in his experience section. And if you're familiar with LinkedIn, which I think most of us are, the experience section typically details what you've done, you know, your past career moves, your current job. In this guy's case, what was offensive was apparently his posting as a research assistant for a book author, and this was way back in 2015. And in that, I guess, career move, he put down that he was working on a book, and one of the topics he was working on was the Tiananmen Square massacre. In his opinion, that led to his post being blocked. So that's just one of the examples that I'm seeing. I'm also seeing academics from Tokyo, academics from Jerusalem also come out to say that they've received similar messages from LinkedIn over content in their publications pages, the publication section, in which they've found actually nothing wrong. And in some cases, they haven't even updated that section in months.
So some uncertainty, it sounds like, over why their profiles are being blocked, you know, what content actually violated what rules. Is there a sort of political context here? What's going on in China right now?
I think the broad political context, this is probably quite important to note. The broader trend has been under Chinese President Xi Jinping, we've seen a tightening of control over public opinion, tightening of control over academics, tightening of control over the internet. This has been very, very evident under the current President Xi Jinping. And I think the second thing we also should note is we're coming up to a very important political anniversary for the Chinese Communist Party. Next week, on July 1st, they celebrate the 100-year anniversary of the founding of the party. And typically in China, in the run-up to these big political events, there is, in general, a tightening of like internet discussion and public opinion.
And so it sounds like China might be exerting even more pressure than usual in light of that. Lisa, what does LinkedIn say about all this? What do we know about how and why LinkedIn made these decisions to block these profiles and posts?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think in general, the issue of censorship and operating in China has been a thorn in LinkedIn's side since they entered the market in 2014. So way back in 2014, when they first decided to enter China, then LinkedIn's CEO had mentioned that the company would have to take some concessions in order to operate in China. And in his words, he mentioned that there might be some requests for filtering content. And so now fast forward to 2021, you know, LinkedIn is essentially saying the same thing. A LinkedIn spokesperson told us that while the company supports freedom of expression, offering a localized version of LinkedIn in China means adherence to censorship requirements of the Chinese government on internet platforms. And I had many other questions. I asked LinkedIn if their actions were proactive, did they filter and censor content without a request from the Chinese government, or was it responsive, whether it was in response to requests from Chinese authorities? And on that front, the company didn't comment.
Got it. And, you know, that trade-off that you just described, this is not unique to LinkedIn, right? This is a challenge that a lot of Western tech companies are facing when they make decisions about whether to operate in China.
Exactly. So if you think back, if you think about companies such as Google or Facebook or Twitter, they're all not widely accessible in China because at some point in time, they've decided that they weren't going to be able to filter or censor content the way the Chinese government would like them to. And in this aspect, I think Microsoft really does stand out. Beyond LinkedIn, you know, I'm thinking about its search engine, Bing. Bing was recently called out earlier this month for filtering content on its US search engine, not just the Chinese search engine. US social media users had found out that on a very sensitive anniversary, the Tiananmen Square crackdown anniversary on June 4th, when they searched on Bing, they couldn't find the images of the Tank Man, this iconic image of a Chinese protester who's standing in front of a row of army tankers, which are trying to leave Tiananmen Square after the crackdown. So if you think about the trade-offs that foreign companies have had to make in China, if you do not operate in China, you're essentially giving up one of the world's largest consumer markets. And not only is it one of the world's largest consumer markets, it's also increasingly becoming a very affluent one. So you're essentially shutting yourself out from one of the biggest business opportunities out there right now.
All right, that's our reporter, Lisa Lin. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Amanda.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.